I don't know. Oh, here we go. All right. Looks like we are live. Try not to screw up my intro here. Welcome to the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. And no, that is not Cousin Shane, although we all wish it is. That's Chris Marler. Cousin Shane's still sick. And he goes by. What are you going by? What's your account this time? I know it's changed about 20 times over.
That's a good joke that you've been using every time that we interact on Twitter for the last week and a half, which is nice. Vern Funquist CFP. We're running out of things.
Okay. Yeah. So I've got it wrong in the banner, but...
I don't know a time that you've ever had it right.
Well,
that's great. This looks fantastic.
Yeah. One of our cameras looks pretty good, but I do appreciate that. How's it been going on? What's it called? Fourth and Schlong? Is that your show?
Yeah, that's good. Again, Fourth and Wrong. It's been good, man. It's been a good start. We're in the what's up, Craig Godwin? We are about a month into the new pods.
It's going great so far. I think Marler. At least he's not in the cave anymore. He's now where he has no internet access, apparently. But so things are going great so far. He was just going to tell us about his amazing show, which nobody will ever find out about now because he has no internet access. Man. Well, this is going great. I think, Fourth and Wrong. This is, maybe we call Cousin Shane back up anyway, because Cousin Shane says he couldn't talk. That's why I had to reach out to Chris. And Liquid says not even his camera wants to talk to Chris. Oh, man. What a time to be alive. I don't know where we're going to go from here, but waiting for old Chris to file back in. He had something, and I think he was pretty close to nailing it. I'm going to throw up his graphic he made. It's one of the topics we wanted to hit on here. But Chris made top tailgate scenes in the SEC. And he's got, I'm trying to throw the little graphic up on the screen here, but he's got LSU. Anybody that doesn't have LSU as the top tailgate scene, I don't think they've ever been to LSU, or I don't think they've been around the SEC, because for my money, it's LSU or bust when we're talking number one tailgate scene. Here's a little graphic Chris made up. Georgia number two. I think he's trying to suck up to them dogs. I don't know if I'd have Georgia quite as high as number two. Top five, I think, is fine, but Ole Miss three. I would actually put Ole Miss probably number two. Bump him up a spot. Portal Kings and Tailgate Kings as well. Let's see. Oh, now we've lost Chris completely. This is going super right here. Tennessee? He says he's still in it. This is very confusing. Okay. Log back in. Tennessee, I think you can put them safely in the top five when they're good, as they are right now. Florida, top five as well. I could get behind that. I'm kind of curious to know what you guys think in the mentions here. Not seeing much compliment. I think Texas A&M. Where are they at? Where's Auburn? Where's Alabama? I think all these are fair criticisms that I really wanted to get in. Here he is. All right, Chris, can you see us? Can you hear us?
It never stopped working on my end. I watched the whole broadcast.
So you just heard us talk bad math, you basically?
The whole time. Even the one guy who said even his internet knows he's a fake Bama fan. Yeah, I'm not a fucking fan. It's my job to cover college football, dummy. I did like the one comment about even... his internet doesn't want to talk to him. That was actually pretty good. I can always, Chris, pay your bill. I don't know what to say here. All right, so yes, but good for Hunter Ray. That was good.
How about this tailgate scene? Why in the world? I know you've been making a living off sucking up to Georgia here lately, but Athens number two tailgate scene in the SEC. Can you explain yourself?
Well, one, Athens is the best college campus in the country, and it's not particularly close.
I would agree.
It's a little bit spread out, but if you get to go to North Campus and you combine that with going downtown, That's I love it. I love Athens. I mean, you could make the case that they should be lower, but here's the thing too. In the SEC, you can make the case that anybody should be higher or lower. I know South Carolina fans were all upset with me. The one thing that I will say, and I will die on this hill, Ole Miss might be the most overrated tailgate spot in the country. And that's because it's really cool. It's really cool. If you know somebody, we went in 2018 at SES, and it was an awesome time. We did know somebody. We had a great setup. Really cool to see like how fancy the chandeliers are and how packed the Grove can get. But really, like, I don't think I've ever seen less friendly tailgating in the SEC than Ole Miss, because every cooler's locked. Like, you have to know someone in each tent if you're going to go in there. And I will die on the hill. I think Ole Miss is a little bit overrated.
Ooh, I don't know about that. But Tennessee in your top five, I'm a little surprised that you give, because you will give Tennessee respect for anything. You seem to hate all us proud Volunteers here. How'd you put Tennessee in your top four?
Okay, so first off, I can give Tennessee a lot of credit for a lot of things. Your fans are assholes, and I don't think that's up for debate. Your fans are like, they wear it like a, you know, badge of honor. Just like it, they are. I gave you guys a lot of respect during football season and basketball season, but yeah, your fans are very mean sometimes. I think the cool thing about Tennessee tailgating is they have the one unique thing that is completely unique to the SEC and outside of Washington, really, and maybe Annapolis, is like pretty unique to just like a handful of places around the country. You know, Vol Navy, that's just a really cool thing that no other place can do. So, and like I said, you could make the case for a lot of places here. Auburn has great great tailgating. Mm-hmm. Florida, I think, is vastly underrated. From I think the last time I was there was a 2017 Tennessee Florida game with the Felipe Franks Hail Mary. But it's just, you know, I think there's, you can make a case for a lot of them. South Carolina, you can make cases great too. But I think that, you know, like you said too, if the list doesn't start with LSU, it's not right.
Right. So who was the next to, again, Chris got LSU 1, Georgia 2, Ole Miss 3, Tennessee 4, Florida 5. And I know you mentioned Auburn there. Who is the closest? Is it Auburn to just making this list? I've got to imagine Alabama was kind of close. A&M, Texas, were they in the conversation?
So the quad is cool. I like the quad, obviously, in Tuscaloosa. South Carolina probably would have been the next one. And again, you could easily make the case that South Carolina should be top five. I think that it's South Carolina is really cool. If you've ever done the Cockaboose thing, which we got to do, it's a ton of fun. Really, again, very, very unique experience. And especially it's like in the shadows of Williams-Brice. The thing with South Carolina, I feel like, is it's a really fun tailgating spot, but you have to be kind of tied into the, I know. Perfect. You have to be, sorry, it's Alex.
You'd be a little less professional over here, Chris.
Shut the fuck. I got a new camera from the last time we did this because you told me to get one, and now apparently it's not working. No, I think the thing with South Carolina is I think it's really cool if you are a student there, if you're a little bit younger, and you are like there to absolutely fucking party. I'm old, you know, so it's like it's not. I live in Columbia, but it's just I don't. It wouldn't have been at the top of my list.
Yeah, well, Liquid Flame says that's your internet bill. Calling needs to be paid there. But hey, we don't talk a lot of basketball in here, but it is Final Four. That's why I'm drinking, Chris, just for you here. I got a bourbon here. Crimson Tide made it all the way to the Final Four. Tennessee shit the bed once again. But hey, Elite Eight, that's pretty good, I guess. But
yeah,
I'm not asking you to necessarily break down the game, because again, I think most people here don't certainly care too much about basketball, but do you think it's realistic that Alabama could beat UConn, who everybody says is the team to beat?
So here's the thing. I think if you're a Bama fan, it's fun that you get to be in this situation that you rarely get to have for football, and that's being the underdog. I mean, they are a massive underdog. Like, they are an 11.5, 12-point underdog to UConn. I do love the fact that UConn, I don't know if you saw this, Mike, their travel to get out there, it's like me trying to get to media days last year. Like, it's been fucking terrible. But I think they have a puncher's chance just because of the fact that if they can hit threes, which they have done really well. And here's the other thing too with Bama that I think has surprised a lot of people during the run. it hasn't just been Mark Sears, and it hasn't had to just be Mark Sears. Like, the fact that they've, love you too, Anthony, the fact that they've been able to get someone, like, to step up, like, whether it be, you know, that Mo Diabate game against Grand Canyon, which was awesome. Like, he showed up so late in that game. Obviously, Grant Nelson against UNC. And then you talk about Jaren Stevenson, a true freshman, putting in 19 points and hitting five threes in that game against Clemson. They found somebody else to kind of be the hero. Ryland Griffin's playing maybe the best he's played all season. It's really cool. But UConn has just – I tell you what, I was talking to our buddy Mike Calabrese from Action Network today, and I was like, dude, give me your thoughts on this, like, from a betting standpoint. And he was like, I'm not betting against UConn. He goes, UConn is absolutely, in direct quote, slitting throats in the NCAA tournament. And that's kind of what they've done, man. They've just destroyed people.
Hmm. Well, and then, so let's swing it to football, because I heard that, I think it was part of my take, they were talking about what would Alabama fans trade for a national championship in basketball? But I'm just specifically asking you, Chris, because I didn't really watch the clip. I just saw that. But
yeah,
would you trade five losses in a row to Tennessee for
in football? Here's the thing. That's tough because of the fan base. I'm old enough to remember losing seven in a row to Tennessee from 95 to 2001.
What if we flip Kirby's 1-5 against Bama? What if we flip it the other way? Kirby's going to be 5-1 against Bama the next six.
See, I said this on SEC this morning yesterday to PB and Doring. I said, if you said it was a losing record, like losing record this season, but Bama got to beat Georgia this year, I would do it in a heartbeat. If they somehow, they could go 4-8, but if they beat Georgia, it would be hilarious. I don't know what I would trade, because here's the deal. Like, I think it's realistic for Bama to go 8-4 this year. And those four losses could very well be to the rivals you have in that schedule: Auburn, Tennessee, LSU, and Georgia. And I've told you more than once, I think that Tennessee is the one that I would circle as a guaranteed loss almost more than any of them, because it's on the road. It's gonna be very tough. But I mean, the painstaking truth here, right, Mike? And you're just like me, and you said it with like your audience. Football is first, right? If you ask me this question now on April 4th, the answer is going to be much different than if you asked me in September. And the thing that the reason why losses in football sting way more than basketball is because you have so many fewer games. Like the weekends are way more precious. So, Mizzou beating Bama, they could. It's in Tuscaloosa. It's also a really good spot for Mizzou, and that we don't have to get into it, but it's a really good spot, especially with the way they run that offense and Bama's secondary being so potentially susceptible to big plays, since they're so young and don't have a ton of depth there right now. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think if you were to tell me, because I've saw this argument before with Bama fans, if they make the Final Four, what would you trade? It's like, that's not a trade at all. Like, if they win the national title, maybe you make the trade. I don't know.
Right. Well, hey, speaking of Mizzou, I did want to ask you this. We don't cover a ton of recruiting here, but them Tigers, they just landed a quarterback commit, Matt Zollers, and he was apparently Georgia's top quarterback on the board. He picked Mizzou over Georgia. He's from Pennsylvania. He's the number one prospect from Pennsylvania. He picked him over Georgia and Penn State, and he just visited Alabama. So Alabama was trying to get in there right before his commitment, number three quarterback prospect in the country. And my question to you, Chris, because I'm already on board, are you ready to embrace Mizzou as a national football power? They just won 11 games.
You're so late to the game on this.
Again, look at their schedule. They're going to win 10-11 this year. And thanks to SEC being lazy as hell with the scheduling, they got the same damn opponents next year. And I mean, 2 years is a long way to look down the road, but this is like a South Carolina Spurrier run we could see here. Three consecutive 11-win seasons. I don't think that's crazy to say. Are you embracing Mizzou as a national power in college football?
Again, Mike, you're so late to the game on this. It's been adorable watching you and Cousin Shane jump on the Mizzou bandwagon, and I've loved it.
Sorry. Did you have him winning 10 games last year like Cousin Shane, who he was literally the only one in the world that predicted that?
I did.
No, you didn't.
It was on the show. You can find the clip.
That's AI editing, Chris.
Okay. my best friend in the world, Jeff Colby. Shout out to Jeff. He is from St. Charles. Mizzou has been like an adopted favorite of ours, or of mine, since they joined the conference. I've always said this too. Mizzou, there's not a team that's caught more unnecessary shit from fans than Mizzou. And if you think about it, even going back to 2012 when they first came in, they came in with A&M. Mizzou comes in. They lose all five of their starting offensive linemen and their sixth starting offensive linemen right off the bat going into year one of SEC play. And they go 4-8 and they get shit on immediately for whatever reason. Keep in mind, they go ahead and win the SEC East in back-to-back years after that, right? Like, that's, they have more division titles than Tennessee, Kentucky, Vandy, South Carolina, like, combined since then. I love Mizzou. I think it's a great story. I love the fact they're putting all these resources into the program, into the stadium, all that kind of stuff, the NIL stuff. I think, like, Eli has been, he doesn't get enough credit for it, but he has been at the forefront of some of the most creative NIL stuff out of any state and any coach, especially in the country. And we just don't talk about it. Like, I'm looking at the Luther Burden ships right here. He's done a phenomenal job with the way he's implemented and made sure that the recruits understand how he's going to implement the NIL stuff for them. I'm very high on Mizzou. I hope that they do not play well October 26th, but they were awesome last year.
Yeah, so they're going to beat Bama. That's like a foregone conclusion, right? And if they do that, hell, they may go 12-0.
I mean, sure, I guess. I mean, I love the fact that they're not playing a directional Missouri like school to start the season. I don't think they are. I think it's Murray State they're playing. But yeah, like, it seems like most of their Septembers are like every single possible north, south, east, and west Missouri State team they could play. But yeah, man, they return a ton. They return a ton.
Now, I really wanted to ask you this, Chris. Who's going to be the biggest letdown in the SEC? And before you answer, let me kind of define where I'm going with this. A team that their fans expect or you know, have realistic expectations that they're going to make the college football playoff. And again, this is obviously a 12-team playoff, not a 4-team anymore. But fans expect a playoff run, and they're not going to even come close to it. And why is it Alabama?
I mean, it could be. I think this is you've been doing this for 6 years, Mike. You've been saying this for 6 years, and you've been wrong every single year.
I was right last year, wasn't I?
No.
The Kang dynasty. Dynasty's dead, man.
They went 12-2 and made the playoff and ended Georgia's 29-game win streak. You could not have been further from the truth.
And you picked Georgia in that game. I picked Bama.
Good for you.
Let the record show.
In every game for the last 3 years, to be honest. Oh, okay. But yeah, they have been the best program in the country. I think that Bama is one you could say, like, because I don't think Auburn would be the team that's going to get there. I don't think people are in Auburn are expecting them to make a leap to the playoff. The only other one, man, I can think of, and I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, let's talk Auburn for a second here, because these fans are, I'm hearing nothing short of 8-4 is acceptable. Year two, Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
And I guess given the schedule, I can kind of see that. But honestly, I think every road game here is losable.
Yeah.
Now, Kentucky, maybe, certainly you can win that game. It'd be a lot easier if it didn't come after Oklahoma, Georgia, Missouri, back to back to back. You know, throw that in the front. Maybe it's a different story here. But if you're losing all your home games, which I'm not saying – or excuse me, all your away games. And I'm not saying that is for sure going to happen, but I think it is realistic.
Yeah.
Then you got to win out the rest. I just don't see it. Do you?
No, but also if you don't get that damn Arkansas logo inside the box, I'm going to lose my mind at some point. Every time I'm on here. Also, is this New Mexico? Is this the team they lost to a year ago?
No, that was New Mexico State. This is straight New Mexico.
Real New Mexico. Okay. Not New Mexico light. I love it. I mean, if you look at the schedule, like Cal is not going to be great. Hunter made a great point. I didn't want to call you out, but he made a great point.
Mizzou's the beginning of a dynasty. Bama's dead and already in the dirt.
And again, if you hadn't been saying the same thing since 2018, it would be more believable. But
how many non-COVID championships do they have since 2018?
Zero. Dude, listen, and I get what you're saying.
Isn't that a dynasty? You championships.
Somebody that has watched their team lose 17 of 18 and only win once in the last play by 3 points, I know it just hurts you, and that's where this is coming from. Listen, if you want me to give you Dr. Rocky, my personal therapist, if you want me to give you his number, I will, because I think you have a lot of issues to work through with what Saban did. And that's fine. I was the same way with Fulmer. You know what I mean? He was just fatter than Saban. Much taller as well, to your credit. Anyway, the thing with Auburn, I think that Auburn, like, they could lose all those games on the road. I think Kentucky could be a team that's like, in one of those upswing years, right? Mm-hmm. Liquid Flames has been on fire for most of this entire broadcast. But winning six at Auburn, I don't think is like six at most. I don't think that's right. Like, they have gotten a favorable draw, I think, in the schedule in terms of you get OU at home. They should start 4-0. They could, you know, potentially start 5-0 before they get into those road games. So I think Auburn could be, you know, I think the ceiling though is just closer to the floor, between 8 and 10 games. Kentucky, man, like, what are they going to look like with Brock Vandergriff, a quarterback, and like, you know, last year with Leary, I thought Leary was going to be one of the top three quarterbacks in the conference because of what he was able to do at NC State so young and early in his career, and it just didn't pan out. And so, you know, you look at them last year going into a year where they brought their top five pass catchers back but had to replace all this, you know, talent up front on the O-line. What do they look like this year, especially losing Cohen again? I think they're going to be better, but – that's also not saying much, because that was a very difficult offense to watch at times last year.
Right, and I did cut you off there after you said Auburn. You said it looked like there was another team on the tip of your tongue that would disappoint. Who were you going to mention there?
So the only reason I would say this is because I don't expect them to disappoint. I know you're very high on two, but the only other person that would fit this criteria or team is Ole Miss and LSU. And if you ask me between the two, I would probably point to LSU just because their schedule is a little bit more difficult, right?
Yeah,
I would say that with Ole Miss, I love the way their schedule sets up. I love the talent they have there. But it's, again, it's on Kiffin. Can he stack back-to-back seasons? And we've never seen him do that at a high level as a head coach. And so, you know, he's got 10-plus wins in two of the last 3 years, and that's phenomenal, especially at a place like Ole Miss. But we haven't seen him do it in back-to-back years. So are they able to do that year three with Jackson Dart? You would assume so. But, you know, like, it's just going to be up to Ole Miss to not have what game could they potentially drop here that they shouldn't drop? Like, that game at Florida is kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's a perfect trap game. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying they'll lose that game, but, like, what sandwiched in between could be a potential trap for them.
Right. It really just depends on who is the interim coach down there in Gainesville. I mean, maybe he fires up them troops down there at Florida when Ole Miss comes to town. What if they lose to, and again, I know this is very unrealistic, but what if they lose to Kentucky at home or South Carolina on the road?
Williams-Bryce
will get many good teams. Does a team like this, do they cave? Do they have leadership? Yeah. You know, it's a bunch of free agents.
Yeah.
And once they start losing, let's say they lose two games. I mean, how many of these guys are in it to win it? How many are already eyeing the NFL? Mm-hmm. I think those are fair questions that nobody has the answers to.
I think those are fair questions. I will also say, I think that the South Carolina game is the one that is the one that stands out the most, because you talk about getting the five straight wins, and then I do think Kiffin is a guy that is a bulletin board material type dude, a guy that's going to circle certain games on the schedule way far in advance. We see him a lot of times get up for certain games and then also, you know, not show up for certain games. So, like, you look at that schedule, the way it's set up, if they start 5-0, they get Kentucky at home, which is really favorable as well. I don't see anybody in that top line they're going to lose to. But, like, it's real easy to circle that October 12th game. And especially when you're talking about that's going to be their seventh straight game of the season in a year where you get two byes, you don't have one in your first seven games. It's real easy to put a circle on that October 12th game in Death Valley and then overlook that one on October 5th, especially mm-hmm. if they have a 5-0 start.
And then you were mentioning LSU too. I mean, that team is just – it's so difficult for me to peg. Obviously, yeah. Got faith in Brian Kelly. They've got a great offensive line. They're singing the praises of all these weapons they have around Garrett Nussmeier. But how far can the defense come with a tricky every old LSU fan I speak to, that top line, SC, well, not Nichols, but at South Carolina, UCLA, they just chalk these up as automatic W's. And I'm not saying they won't be, but I don't think any of those are necessarily automatic. Maybe UCLA, I forgot Chip Kelly left there, but I think both the SCs, if they don't show up, they can lose those games.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another thing too, man. What are one of the things that we've seen with Brian Kelly throughout his career, but especially in his first two seasons at LSU, like tremendous success early on. 2 10-win seasons, right? I think they won 10 their first season. They get to an SEC championship his first year in Baton Rouge, all that stuff. But like we've also seen them have an inexplicable performance or loss at some point during the season. You know, like that game against Arkansas, it was either last year or the year before when they were at home against Arkansas. Hell, the year before against Arkansas. So like, yeah, like last year at home, you have like a dogfight against Sam Pittman's team. I think they won by 3 on a last second field goal. The year before, you go to Arkansas with a chance to clinch the West after beating Bama, and you have they have a backup quarterback, and you escape there with a win simply because Harold Perkins is the best player on the field. Like, and don't even get me started on the A&M game from 2 years ago, right? Or even last year when they were awful. So can this team be consistent and rise above like any of those potential downfalls to teams they shouldn't lose to? Like what they kind of remind me of is how, you know, how Kirby was in his first couple of years where it was like before they really got it going. 2019, that was one of the best teams in the country, but they lost to a 4-8 South Carolina team. Like Brian Kelly needs to make sure they are above that, especially with the talent they have to replace from their immediate starters on offense.
Any, I think I've already asked you this, but I'm contractually obligated to always ask about Texas here. Are you buying the hype, you know, that they're going to be elite and they'll just come into this conference and do whatever the hell they want?
I think they're going to have a good first year because I think the schedule is one of the easiest schedules that anybody could have had. Like they're going to Michigan, which whatever. But like the only two games that really worry me if I'm a Texas fan are those middle two games, right? Like those middle two games, OU and Georgia back to back. Like, and here's the thing too, they could lose both those games and still have a favorable draw to make the 12 team playoff. So I think that A&M game is going to be a lot of fun. We'll see how that works out. That could be a ton of fun. And I know you've said this before, one of the best unsung, you know, or like one of the most underrated rivalries, I think, in all of college football, because we've lost it for the past decade or so. Really glad to get that one back. I will say with Texas, if Ewers takes the next step, which he should in year 3 as a starter, that's great. But the people they have replaced on that offense, like versus who they lost, I don't know if that's an upgrade. Like Isaiah Bond was great at times last year for Bama, but he's not Xavier worthy,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, like he's definitely not AD Mitchell. You know, like Jatavion Sanders.
It's funny when these guys leave Bama, they're no good. Is that the theory here, Chris?
I'm not saying that at all, but did you look at any point last year and say that Isaiah Bond was as good as AD Mitchell at any point of the season?
One of the best in the country.
You are. I hate you so much sometimes.
How about this? Right, I really wanted to ask you this. And SEC coach that'll get fired, and you cannot say Billy Napier, cannot say Sam Pittman, and you cannot say Shane Beamer, even though I don't think he's truly on a hot seat. But, you know, basically what I'm asking you is the non-obvious, you know, could you see a path for, could be any coach you want, to maybe things go sideways on him, something like that. I'm not asking for scandals or anything, but, Hugh Freeze is one phone call away from a scandal. we're not asking for that. We're asking for things could go sideways on the field and a fan base turn on him.
So the one that sticks out the most and the one that it's kind of surprising he hasn't really been brought up is Skeletor out there in Norman, Brent Venables, because Venables, he did a great job last year. Year one though, I mean, that's not the expectation, not living up to the expectations out there in Norman. These fans are very confident. I don't know why. They are very, very confident, though, coming into the SEC. And I tell you what, they should start 3-0. They tend to struggle with Tulane for some reason. I don't know why. But Tennessee at home, buddy, you better win that. Because if you don't win that Tennessee game, you're starting out your SEC, like, you know, trek and journey like into this conference with a loss there at Tennessee. Then you got to go to Jordan-Hare, a team you're going to be an underdog by double digits, I think, already, too, with Texas. Then you get South Carolina, Ole Miss. Look at how they closed the season.
About to ask you, Chris, from October 26th on, let's just omit Maine because that's a joke.
Yeah.
Are they going to be favored in any game?
They will be favored over Mizzou, most likely.
I don't think so. In Colombia?
It's on the road. You're right. It's on the road, so they're probably not. But the only point I would make out of that is, dude, I think that is a game that Mizzou fans and Mizzou itself has circled since the moment this thing dropped last year. I think Mizzou boat races like Oklahoma. Because like,
and that's their marquee home game, too.
Exactly. And they don't like each other. And they got a week off beforehand. Like, Mizzou is so tired. If you think Mizzou fans are tired of hearing about the shit from SEC fans about how, like, oh, you guys don't belong here, you're not in the South, you guys suck. All they've done is be, like kind of take this unfair criticism. That's all OU fans have done to Mizzou as well. And so now you're talking about, it's like you're bringing in a bully that went to a different school that you've now outgrown. That you know, OU is basically the kid that fucking hit puberty in sixth grade before you did and then had to go to a different school. And now you get to see him and you've like developed. Dude, I think that everyone in the SEC should be pulling for Mizzou that day. I think that's going to be a fun and very rude awakening for OU.
Yep. They're loving it. We got a lot of Mizzou fans. So, all right, Chris, I appreciate you, man. Before you take off here, any closing thoughts and let people know how they can find you and follow you and all that.
Yeah. So, there's a GoFundMe set up for my, cable and internet. It'd be great. You guys could reach out. No, we have the new podcast. It's called Fourth and Wrong. It's me and my co-host Tyler Huck. And then, we've got another one that we just announced yesterday. It's going to be out in a couple of weeks, called Fun Hinge. It's going to be me and Kristen Sabin.
Oh, where'd you get that idea?
Me.
What?
All me.
I have text proof.
I also said Mizzou was going to win 10 games last year, too. Bitch. No.
Is that on YouTube?
I'm sure it is. I think we might have to ask our old bosses, our collective boss, if we can get access to it. But yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. It's always a lot of fun. Check out the podcast after you're done listening to Mike. Fourth and Wrong. It's out on all platforms.
Wait, so what is this? I apologize. What's it called? SEC Unhinged?
No, Fun Hinged.
You gotta change that. It's gotta be SEC Unhinged.
We're not talking about football.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Damn.
Mike, I have what they call
a missed tank. Opportunity right there.
Oh, jeez, I gotta wash this shirt. You're right. But no, it should be a lot of fun. And then me and Drew Butler have something in the works too that we're gonna announce in a couple weeks. So hopefully, all that will fix the internet.
All right, Chris. Well, hey, we appreciate you. And can't wait for Alabama to lose this weekend and all fall.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.